Time now on our pregame show to visit with Brent Pulte, head coach of the Beavers. A lot of fans around the league were looking forward to that game with Duluth last week. It certainly didn't lack for excitement. As a coach, can you take emotion of losing out and enjoy what was still a pretty entertaining night?
You know, yes, I can. It took me a little bit probably after the fourth quarter was over, probably about 10 minutes after I talked to you on the radio, I was calmer. But you know what? Even going into the game, it's probably the most calm I've been, which is weird because I probably was more uptight at the beginning of the year than ever. We have a really good group of guys. And so when you have that, you know, the worry for me goes a little bit to the wayside. So it was a fun college football game, and there's plenty of opportunities on both sides of the ball for them and us to probably change that outcome. And it was fun. It was a really, I mean, it was a blink and it was over, but yet it was a forever game, it felt like. So, but it was a lot of fun. And again, I think our kids learned a lot from that experience being over there.
How does been there, done that help Duluth in that kind of situation?
You know, I don't know. I think, like I've alluded to you too, is like we have a really young team, and I don't think they really care about who they play. I think they understand. I was very pointed on Sunday when we talked. It's like there's no moral victories. We should have beat them, and I still feel like we should have beat them, and we will beat them. But mark my words, it's going to come to an end sooner than later. If we're healthy and have these guys back in the future, we're going to be outstanding the next. I mean, our recruiting cycles have been great, and when I look at Duluth, maybe compared to the years past, and not taking anything away from Duluth, they're still a really, really good football team. I think we've caught them in terms of the skill level. So with that being said, now we just got to go get it done. But yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt those guys being in the playoffs and being accustomed to winning. So that's for sure.
Your O-line has been so good to start this year. Duluth got an awful lot of pressure on both your quarterbacks on Saturday. How does that unit need to kind of put that behind them and step up and do what they did the first 3 weeks?
You know, you look back at probably what we probably should have played Alec probably more. Jared was, he's not as good as passer, and Duluth was surely not going to let you run the ball. I mean, they had 7-8 guys at the line of scrimmage, and they pressured us more than they had probably anybody all year, and that's John's MO. It's just like he's not going to let you bust off like we've done against other team and get to the second level, which are running backs. In all actuality, we still ran the ball fairly effective outside of the negative yards. We took a lot of sacks, and that a little bit with young and experienced quarterbacks back there too. But we rushed the ball like our running backs rushed for over 100 yards combined, which we were hoping to get to 150 against them and then throw for 200. And I think if we'd have done that, or maybe we could have hit a couple more plays over the top on their DBs. But we need to do a little bit better there. But we also, the fact of the matter is, you know, we just got to win some of those jump balls up in the air too. If we hit some of those with, you know, Anderson had a couple that he battle balls, 50-50 balls, if you want to call that they got out, and a couple of them resulted maybe in touchdowns. So we got to continue to improve in the passing game. I think that'll help us a lot.
Ryan Kennard went down with an injury. So did Joe Woods, a handful of other guys. I mean, it's college football. Guys get hurt. How are they all doing?
Ryan broke his leg, so he'll be done for the year. And then, unfortunately, Joe's done for the year too. So we're unfortunately down an O-lineman captain there, but Joe bounced back. Both those guys will be eligible for medical hardship, so we might possibly get those guys back another year. Ryan will graduate. Joe obviously has a little bit more time left, so that one hurt really bad. Both those guys had been playing well, two starters, and Joe obviously has a pretty darn good O-lineman, so that will test the depth over there on that side.
What is the protocol in the NSIC and here at BSU, and somebody gets hurt, has to go to the hospital, somebody's got to obviously stay with them? Did you guys as a team stay and wait, or how did that all work?
You know, we were fortunate to have our trainers actually drove over to the game. So Eric Sand, along with Heather and one of our student trainers during the game, we sent our student trainer over there. Heather and Eric, our two full-time trainers, stayed. And then Eric Sand actually stayed over and brought him back even that night. So our trainers did a really good job, I thought, outside of taking it seeming forever to get the ambulance out there and get him on the cart, which they got called out. So what are you going to do? I mean, that's just part of how things work. But unfortunately for Ryan, it was a fluky deal. Kid laid out. They got blocked into each other on a field goal block and ended up getting, you know, pretty violent collision. And that was one that I wish I wouldn't have been watching because I saw it right away. I was like, it kind of reminded me almost like the Joe Theismann. He knew it right away. And it's too bad. He had been working really hard. And then Joe's just a fluky deal, had a high ankle sprain. And now kind of the protocol with high ankle sprains, if it's the tendons get stretched, they automatically will do surgery. And so that's unfortunately Joe, I believe, is having surgery today. So he'll be in it right now. So hopefully those guys can heal up and be back for us next year.
More with Coach Pulte when we return. Pregame show continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. Looking back at last week, what were some of the positives that you did take out of the game?
I'll start on the defensive side of the ball. I thought our kids played extremely hard and physical. Honestly, thought up until that last drive of the first half that we were in complete control of the game. I thought we had a really good game plan. I thought Coach Bish kept them off, probably off kilter a little bit with his calls, just spread a lot of different things in with calls that we have worked on, not necessarily had to use up until this point. And we controlled the line of scrimmage. I mean, I still know they ran for 175 yards, whatever it was, but it was on 50 attempts, and it wasn't their running backs. So their quarterback is gifted. He got out the pocket on us a couple times, and those were killer. If we'd have, you know, we had three or four sacks that we could have got them on the ground and probably even held them to less. And they wore us down a little bit in the fourth quarter and overtime where they moved the ball. But I thought that side of the ball, they played extremely hard and executed at a pretty high level. And offensively, to be honest with you, we had our chances in the first half, too. We were moving the ball. I mean, even the first and second quarter, if we'd have finished off a drive or two, maybe got a call here or there, been able to catch a jump ball, I felt like we could have been up 10-0 going at the half, and it was basically reversed. And then we made the change of quarterback late in the second quarter, and then, you know, Alec can throw it a little bit better, as you can see. But he threw up some really good passes. There's probably two or three that were probably dropped. He had the two big plays over the top, and then he gave us a chance. And probably the turning point I thought of the game was when where we had the interception. We were up by one in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, and we had to settle for a field goal in that scenario. We got called for an illegal chop block the very first play of that drive, which, again, I'll agree to disagree with the officials. They got to do their job. I'll do mine to complain about it. But it was a tough call. It was probably one that could have went either way, and we weren't able to overcome from it. So that was frustrating, but we had, like I told the guys, you give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter on the road against the top 15 teams. As young as we are, especially, I mean, it's freshmen a lot of different places right now, so I was pretty proud of them, but yet we need to finish those games, and we just need to understand that we are just as good as Duluth and anybody else that we play. And
all right, on to Wayne. This trip is always a goofy one. It's long. Aren't many hotels in town. I have no idea how on homecoming. I got a room last Tuesday in Wayne. How do your guys handle this week typically?
You know, it's not real typical because we haven't gone down there with the league now. We won't go down there, you know, this would be, you know, every other year type of deal. So it's 4 years, I guess. So last time we were down there was Jordan Hines' first game quarterback, in which his first throw was an interception. So I'll never forget that. But, you know, for us, we're going to break up the trip. We're going to do a little bit different. So we're going to leave Friday morning. We're actually going to practice at South Dakota State. Coach Erickson, our former GA, getting us on down there. So we'll spend an hour there. We'll break it up. Even before that, we'll stop and eat, kind of just on the border of North and South Dakota. And then we're not even going to go to the hotel. We're going to go eat after we get all the way down. We're staying in South Sioux City, actually, not going to Wayne. And then there's a guy that actually runs it's really weird. He's a Wayne State alum that I've gotten to know. He runs the Pizza Ranch down there. So he's going to roll out the red carpet for us and have us in there before they get super busy, and super nice guy. So we'll do our chapel and stuff there. And then we're going to stay in South Sioux and then head over to the game, which is a little weird. We got a 45-minute drive in the morning, but that to me is the best way to do it and break it up a little bit instead of going all the way through, because it is a journey, that's for sure.
It is. Marlon Warren, their lead tailback, has already carried it 78 times for 304 yards. Those are big numbers early on in a season. One touchdown. Why has their offense not been able to get the ball into the end zone, it seems?
There's a lot of different reasons. I would say as you watch their film, is they're just a little inconsistent maybe on the offensive line right now, which that kid is talented, the running back. Runs hard, big kid. He's 6 foot, 200-pound kid. But they, I think, would prefer to pass the ball. I think that's what they have. I think they're almost 65-70% throwing. They have a very talented receiver, big 6'5", Rogers. Nate Rogers, I believe his name is. He'll be a first-team All-NSIC for sure. So they try to target him. I think he's got 34 catches for over 300 yards and pretty good clip. So they've kind of been off balance, and you watch what they did against Winona, against a good Winona team at the beginning of the year. It was 42, I think, 28. I was like, wow, that was a surprising score at the beginning of the year. And then they lost to Southwest on the road, and then CSP was a weird game because of all the thunderstorms in the Twin Cities, and they played on a Thursday. So I'm sure they're I'm sure they're going to be excited to have us come down there, and I think it's a trap game a little bit for us too, because we got homecoming the following week coming off a tough loss. So we'll have our guys ready. I'm sure that's going to be talked about frequently this week.
Best of luck.
Very appreciate it.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.